On Friday, President Trump announced a proposal fulfilling one of his campaign promises to defund Planned Parenthood. That proposal would prevent reproductive health clinics that receive federal funding from educating patients about abortion options or from performing abortions at all. Title 10 funding is a federal grant program which provides around $260 million to clinics around the country for reproductive services. And activists say that losing that funding would drastically impact people's access to even basic health services that are provided. Melissa Murray is a professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley, and is currently a visiting professor at NYU. Melissa, great to have you here with me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about the services that Title X funding allows clinics to provide.
So Title X is part of the Public Health Service Act, passed in 1970 to broad bipartisan support, and it provides basic family planning services, so access to contraception, well women exams, basic reproductive services, but also basic health care services as well. And abortion has never been included in Title X funding. So what's interesting about the new Trump proposal is that it really requires cleaving those family planning and health services from the provision of abortion. And right now, a lot of the clinics who receive Title X funding actually do both, although they don't use Title X funds to provide abortions.
And so the limits that are being placed on these providers are what? You can't mention abortion at all?
Well, you cannot use any federal funds, so that's already in existing. You have to have this physical separation and separate personnel to provide abortions. And it's a little unclear because they haven't provided the text of the proposal, but insiders say that one of the things the proposal will do is ban the referral of abortion services. So if a woman comes and asks about what she might do about a pregnancy, you cannot refer her to an abortion provider. And it's unclear whether or not they will eliminate the current requirement that Title X funders provide neutral, fact-informed, non-directive services or information.
Is this essentially a move that takes money away from anyone acknowledging the existence of abortion?
Well, it seems more like it's an end run around an express effort to defund Planned Parenthood, which failed last year when it was introduced in Congress. This is a way for the administration to really aim at Planned Parenthood, which is one of the largest providers of reproductive services, not just abortion, but basic health services for women, and especially indigent women.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Melissa Murray from Berkeley and NYU Law Schools about access to reproductive health under the Trump administration. I'm curious about the role that religious counsel plays in this. I mean, we know that there are religion-based crisis clinics that push for pro-life methods. Is that also part of this funding change?
It's not directly part of the Title X proposal, but it's certainly implicated. Right now, pending before the Supreme Court is a case that considers California's FACT Act, which requires crisis pregnancy centers, usually pro-life organizations that provide pregnancy-related services. It requires them to disclose that they do not provide abortion services and requires them to provide information to patients about where such services or basic reproductive services could be had. They're challenging this, saying that it's compelled speech. One of the things that this particular proposal may do is by eliminating the neutrality requirement about neutral information is basically to redefine what it means to have family planning services to completely distinguish abortion and to exclude abortion and maybe even some forms of contraception.
So if a young woman, or any woman really, doesn't have to be a young woman, but if a woman finds herself in a situation where she's considering what her options are for, you know, whether she wants to have a child or not, under this new plan, what would that look like? Does it depend on where she lives? Does it depend on where she goes?
Well, under this particular proposal, and we don't have all of the details about it, but under what we know now, it seems that she cannot be referred to an abortion provider, and it may even be the case that she cannot even be provided general counseling that abortion might be an option. That's still up in the air, but it seems like that may be part of this as well. And I don't want to leave men out of this. A lot of men receive basic health care services under Title X as part of basic family planning. So this really has the impact of basically getting rid of a lot of health services that impoverished or lower-resourced individuals in this country have access to.
And I want to talk about money because outside of the arguments about the morality of abortion, which, you know, obviously there are many sides to that argument, there is an economic reality for many of the women, particularly low-income women, who might be forced to raise children without many of the social safety net programs that they need, Medicaid, CHIP, SNAP. Many of these programs, the administration seems to be moving away from these safety net programs.
Right. So this is also part of a larger effort to reframe Title X, not as sort of a basic family planning effort that provides contraception as it has for the last 40 years, but rather to focus on other aspects of family planning, like the rhythm method or the calendar method, things that are perhaps more controversial in terms of their efficacy and perhaps more controversial in terms of whether people will actually be able to implement them effectively.
Well, and the question is, if we can't, you know, I think the ongoing argument around this is that if you can't afford to provide for the children that you're essentially requiring women to have, how do you reconcile that? A recent report also just came out, I'm sure you saw this, that said that birth rates were at a 30-year low in the United States. And teenage birth rates, very different from when I was growing up, are at a historic low. Why is this proposal necessary now? Is this really a question of appeasing his base, the president's base?
Well, so everything you say, all the statistics you cite are absolutely correct. And a lot of people give Title X credit for it. So for every dollar that is spent on Title X, you save $3 in terms of the other social services that might be provided to deal with unwanted pregnancies or children that might result. But again, you can't discount the political milieu in which this arises. I think Tuesday, President Trump will be appearing before the Susan B. Anthony list, and it's a pro-life super PAC that is intent on abolishing abortion access throughout the country. And I think this is really a lot of red meat for that constituency. They are very exercised about overturning Roe versus Wade, very exercised about eliminating abortion access across the country. And he's been very clear about playing to that base, and this is certainly part of it, part of this larger effort to attack Planned Parenthood and also to promote more of a culture of life.
And does this really affect just Planned Parenthood or smaller providers as well?
Well, it certainly affects Planned Parenthood in a very material way, but Planned Parenthood is not the only provider on the line here. So there are lots of community-based organizations which will find themselves having to choose between receiving Title X funding or completely foregoing the abortion services that they currently provide, because there must be that separation.
Melissa Murray is a professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley, and currently a visiting professor at NYU. Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.